Okay, I think we're ready. This is session SES 103, the social intranet, just making sure you're all in the right room. My name's Debbie Ireland, and I'm from New Zealand. I'm a Microsoft MVP. I had this slide done for me from a very good Australian friend of mine, and when he did it and asked me to speak to it at one of the conferences we did a session together, I wondered why he put the sneaker in the middle, but it's because he's Australian, it's because I'm a trainer, and they call them trainers, so I'm a trainer. Our company used to be called Envision IT, and it's now called Share the Point, and I like Dr. Zeus quotes, and I don't know why he put that up there, but that's what it is. And I also organise the conferences in New Zealand, Singapore, Hong Kong and Australia, the SharePoint conferences. So that's me, that's what I do. I've been doing SharePoint for about, 6 or 7 years, I think, and started off actually as a project manager using it in that realm and then have moved and do nothing else but SharePoint these days. Key takeaways from this session. A few different things. Number one, social is not Facebook for the enterprise. And I think my point here is about productivity, and there was a nice little thing I read about in the 1950s that executives feared the bathroom because they thought it would make employees unproductive, and in the 70s it was the telephone, and in the 80s it was email, and then in the 90s, you know, the same sort of thing, it was the internet, because they thought all these things would make employees unproductive, and of course they're absolutely essential to the way we do work today. And in the 2000s, it's social that everyone's fearing. So I don't want to paint this as a session saying social is Facebook for the enterprise. The second one is that knowledge management is becoming increasingly important. It always has been, but what I'd like to try and get the point across is about how social computing is knowledge management today. And then the third one is I'd like to remove some of the word social. And Adam did a great session this morning where he was painting a kind of shift of the way we think and the way things need to change inside of organisations. So by trying to remove that word social and actually dig down behind that and say what is it and what are we trying to get from it, then, yeah, that's my point, hopefully, that'll be made by the end of the session. So everything that I talk about is about building a business case. And I'm going to do that through presenting four different areas that show business value of social in the enterprise. They will be colour-coded, so you'll get to see everything and hopefully see the pattern as we go through. I'll talk about each area. I'll give some of the kind of issues and challenges around that and then show you how social can actually address some of those issues. And then we'll talk a little bit about customer stories and I'll give you a demonstration of each area. Just to flick back a little bit, though, I'd like to set the scene of where we've come from. And in the old days, someone would have an idea. It would be very much limited to a confined group of people. And it would usually be within the network that your organisation or however you're working. And you'd use software like Lotus Notes or email or file shares and so forth. Nowadays, however, if someone has an idea, it's shared with millions of people, or can be, across the world. And the network and the internet mean that we have access to a lot more people, a lot more information, and a lot more means of being able to connect. And it's all in the cloud. So I can go through and I could give you all sorts of statistics about Twitter, Facebook, Skype. I'm sure you've seen a lot of these before. But I guess the main point here is that how much people are using social now, today. It's going to happen. It's happening. It's going to happen with or without you. And most of all, at the moment, it's happening outside of your organisation. Oh, that was my with or without you slide. So the point here is that by bringing it into SharePoint or Yammer, that we're actually trying to take some of that information that people are sharing but put it within a more, not confined, but maybe secure environment in a way that we know that our employees are actually talking to each other and we're not sharing information out on the World Wide Web that should be kept within the company walls. So perhaps a little bit more governance around it. Just taking another look back, if we look at the way we've worked in the past, the focus has been a lot on structure, process and roles. So if you think about the way we were all driven towards productivity and lean methodology and being able to manufacture things faster. And to do that, we needed that structure, that process, and the different roles for that. But nowadays, in order to succeed, the whole thing is changing, and I really did like Adam's way of explaining this morning, but it is about adaptability, innovation, and motivation. And without those, we can't succeed as organisations. So the point here is more about how does social help us drive that. So let's look at the first area. Employees are disengaged, and statistics show an overwhelming percent of 71% of people being disengaged. And by that, I mean three different things. So globalisation being one of them. Globalisation meaning that people are dispersed geographically, they're in different offices, it's harder to connect face-to-face with people, and not just in different offices, but we work remotely a lot more these days. We work from home, so how do we connect our employees better? Communication, and that's more saying that at the moment or in the past, the communication has been more top-down, emails, one-to-many. You have messages that come out, but they don't allow feedback and discussion and so on. And then the third one is about employees feeling recognised, so that their contributions mean something to the success and the goals of the organisation. And all of these result in the fact that employees do need to feel a sense of ownership. They need to feel valued and that they're part of an organisation. So I guess this is all about employee engagement and how does social actually bring some of this to the table. So I've got three different areas here. The first one's just about connecting people to information and allowing people to find people with similar skills, similar interests, and people that are going to be able to help them do their own job. The second one's about communication and being able to have that top-down communication but open the doors. So I used to do some consulting work many years ago for Vodafone, actually, and I was actually thinking of their whole structure and the way that they were one of the first organisations I think I worked with where they, instead of having manager's office all around the outside of the room and different wee rooms and everything for management to be in, they opened up the whole open plan office idea, and you walked in there, you couldn't tell who was a consultant, who was a manager, who was one of the workers, so to speak, and it was a great way of communicating. And I think that social's even bringing that more to the table as people are able to connect with all levels of the organisation. The third one's about best practices, and it's something that, as a trainer, I get asked about all the time. Everyone goes, what's the best practices for putting things up on the internet? What's the best practices for governance? And it's really, really hard, because best practices are, I believe, contextual. It depends on the situation. So the type of things that are shared using social, the best practices, are actually more related to the person, the time, the situation. And it's more that peer-to-peer learning. It's more being able to get access to information in a different way. So I'm going to start my first demonstration. This is my first tech ed that I've actually video recorded the presentations, and I don't know, this is either a good thing or a bad thing. Perhaps you won't get to see quite so many working on it, but I have to remember what I video recorded too. So I'm using the Contoso, Microsoft Contoso company as the example. I have four different players in my, and you'll see these videos roll out throughout the whole presentation. So I've got Katie, who's an auditor and who's also a project manager on a big project that we've got happening for a merger called Project Falcon. Ali has just joined the organisation, so you're going to see an experience from a new employee. And Garth and Sarah are members on the project team. So what we're going to start with here is, just checking that this is starting. And by the way, everything I'm showing in this is similar in Yammer. I show a little wee bit of Yammer, but I'm really just trying to get across the points of how social is being used and how it's being, how it can be integrated into your organisations. I don't think that started yet, did it? That looks like it. So I'm on a My Site. I'm on Katie's personal My Site for herself, the way that she works within the organisation. She's come into the office, and the first thing is to take a look at some of the newsfeed things that are coming through. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the fact that she can see a newsfeed from a project site. So this is actually a site feed that's coming through. And I can go ahead, I can like, I can see people's presence and come down the page. And you can see here that I've got a message that's been posted by Anne Wallace, who's the CEO of the corporation. And she's showing a welcome to Ali as the new employee. So I can come down and have a look, like the comments. But it's great to see the interaction of a CEO at that top level, being able to interact with the staff in a really, really easy, simple way. So I'm going to post my own message. You can see I'm doing an at mention. Most of these are really, really simple, which is why I'm just demonstrating the use of it rather than how to. I'm going to be using tags throughout this presentation quite a bit, so you'll see me use a few. I'm tagging something here with Project Falcon, and my reason for tags, as you'll see, is a lot to do with search, but also being able to filter later so that I'm cutting through a lot of that information that's posted on sites, so I can then filter back down to the things that are important on, you know, for me. So I'm saying to Ali that I'm going to catch up with her a little later for our meeting, and I can go ahead and post that. The next thing I do, I was like something else. So I'll talk about mentions when I get to Ali's one, actually. I'm then going to come down, and if you just have a look along the left-hand side here, these are the other things you can do within the My Site that make working socially and working in this realm pretty amazing. So the task roll-up inside of 2013 are much improved. You can see here I had a few different projects that I'm a part of, and I can see all of those tasks in the one place. I can actually add to them from here or from within whichever project site. They're all nicely colour-coded, and I can see any timeline bits and add to them and so forth. I'm just going to quickly go into the profile side of things, which, if you've had anything to do with prior versions of SharePoint, this is great from a number of reasons. I'm going to quickly come in and update just the fact that I'm working on a new project now. And I'm going to update my Ask Me About, which again is using social tags. It's actually using the Manage Metadata Term Store. So I can put down here under the Ask Me About Project Falcon so that I know that if people are doing searches later on, as I'll show you, then that's going to come to the top of the fore. The other things I can do under the profile area is things like contact information, and obviously some of this may be pulled through from other systems that you've got, depending how you're setting up your profiles, and then I've got other term store things saved there as well. So that was my about me. I'm going to jump into the SkyDrive part here because I guess, again, it's actually quite interesting to note I haven't even done anything with email at the moment because I'm doing everything, generating everything from within my site. I've got a little folder here called Ali's Induction because I'm going to meet with her later about her new role. And usually, yes, these documents would be stored inside a nice HR site and so forth, but these are just in draft at the moment just because I'm working with them and I want to share them with Ali just directly at this stage. So I'm going to actually set up the permissions for this particular folder so that I'm sharing them just with Ali, and I can do that either through here or through actually the little icon where it says sharing on the side there. And I'm going to invite Ali in to share that particular folder with me. So really, really easy sharing and being able to collaborate again without me having to email anything out. Okay, and there's nice notifications that come up on the side there just to tell me what's happening. The next thing I'm going to do is go back to my news feed. And I'm actually going to, knowing that Ali's online, I'm just going to start a link call with her or a link conversation and let her know that I've put these folders up there. And again, links just another way of social collaboration. I was intrigued to see there was an absolutely jam-packed full room next door in the link presentation. So great tool for communicating and connecting people together no matter where they are and being able to see their presence. So obviously Ali's going to reply here and so forth, but again, cutting down that, reducing that email load by bringing the conversation into context. And all of this is stored and searchable if I want it to be as well. So I've said, yes, please, share that. Great. Okay. Should have cut that bit short. Okay. After that bit, I'm going to come on as Ali. So I'm now signed in as Ali, and being her first day, one of the first things she got to happen was some training on how to use her My Site, which is nice and intuitive, so it didn't take much. She comes in and she can see the replies. So it is a way of immediately connecting her to new people in her organisation. She can come in and she can follow people directly from the posts that have been made about her or to her. She can start to follow tags because other people have tagged information like Merger, like Project Falcon. Then you'll see the power of that in a little while. And she can, of course, like information. So she's going ahead. You can see the little notifications up in the top right too of what someone's doing as soon as you follow someone. So Ali goes to her own mentions one, which is another way, as you can see, if there's a mention about her of following someone and finding out, you know, again, the people that are trying to connect with her. And then when she goes to the everyone tag, it's a good way for her to see what everyone else is up to, either prior to her arriving or being able to see things like playing a video in line within the newsfeed. So all of these are ways that she's immediately connecting to people and feeling more engaged as an employee. The next thing she's going to do is take a look at someone else's profile. She knows that Garth is on her project, so she wants to have a look at some of his information. So she's just going to click on Garth's, and again, finding out more about what people's skills are. I could have, by the way, gone down on that little show more, but there, and it would have shown all the skills and all the other information that's displayed about him. And I can see the people that he's following, and again, that little star gives me the option to follow someone from that perspective as well. And so I can go ahead, follow someone, and so forth. I'm then going to go back to Katie's site because I know she shared that folder with me, and I can go in and have a look at the documents that Katie has shared, and that folder will be visible to me because she's given me permission to it, and that's pretty much that one done. So let's look at the next one, which is all about teams. And the point here is teams feeling overwhelmed. The fact that we spend so much of our time doing emails and meetings, collaborating, if those percentages are correct, it doesn't leave us a lot of time to do much else. But let's look at how team collaboration, and team collaboration has been discussed, I think, for many years now, so I kind of want to try and zone in on a couple of the main things. One of the interesting stats that I thought was that 66% of CIOs these days see collaboration as the number one trait for employers. So it's becoming more and more vital. But the main themes are all about working together towards common goals to get faster results. So how does social help with this? The first one, I'm not going to go into too much detail because I think if you've had anything to do with SharePoint or any collaboration tools, yes, they're great for doing project, team, division, collaboration. So things like sharing documents, sharing information, and getting people into a shared workspace works great. The next one, breaking down team silos, I talked a little bit about geography, so people in different places. That's one type of silo, but the other one would be more about information silos or systems. So instead of having people going out and using Dropbox or Google Docs or Facebook to collaborate, you want to provide a means for them to be able to do that inside your organisation, not just for security, but also because then you're having them connect to the people that are all out there. And the third one is about external teams, and this is becoming more and more evident, and I'm trying to remember now what that thing was this morning. It was about looking at communities instead of looking at customers and partners. So the external teams are how do we actually bridge that gap and work with the organisations that we need to outside our companies. So the demonstration for this one, I'm actually going to start. I'm talking a lot about community sites in this, which is a new site in SharePoint 2013. So I'm going to start by, I'm logged on as Katie again. I'm going to start by posting something here to mention Ali to say, we've got this new employee community site that I want you to take a look at. It's great. I'm posting it on my newsfeed because I think it's a piece of information that could be of value to anyone else in the organisation. So I'm going to also tag it. Did I go ahead and add a link? I must have already added the link. So I'm also going to tag it with a couple of different things. Oh, yes, I'm adding the link here, and I'm just putting a nice display name because you can do that. So I'm putting the new employee forum. And I'm going to put a couple of hashtags just because anyone else seeing this post or following other hashtags might be interested. So I've put Contoso as the company name and also HR. And again, this is so people actually filter through to see the information that they need to. From there, I'm just going to come in and look at that community site from the back end, and then I'll come in as Ali as the end user. So we'll take a look at the new employee forum, which, as I said, is a community site. And you can see I've just started showing it comes out of the box with a whole lot of pages. But my point here is that you do have to have a little bit of thought around what these community sites are, what kind of tone of voice do you want, and what kind of content do you want in them. Do you need some moderation, that kind of thing. So I'm going to move over to the homepage here, and you'll see that this site's been based around new people starting in the organisation. So it's trying to get some of that informal knowledge out of people's head and do what people naturally do when someone starts, is provide help. So whether it be at a coffee table or at a desk and someone needs to ask a question, this is just a way of doing it online. So you can see that there's a few categories. There's members. Things have been wrapped up into topics. So there's a couple of different topics that have been put up there. And there's all sorts of discussions. I can see who the contributors are, and you'll see a couple of different examples of community sites next later on, but it shows me who the type of members are that are part of this particular community. So I can come in here. By the way, I wouldn't see this community tools. Whoops, this community tools up there. Usually it's just because I've got admin rights. But I can see my membership and I can see what my reputation score is. And that reputation can be set per community. So I can go in and have a look and I can change all the settings there. So I could choose, if I click on the community settings, you can see I've got different amounts for posts. And they would be set per community. So I'd earn a different reputation depending on where I am. And then depending on what I've earned from what I've done, I get to raise the level of what I'm doing. And it is interesting to see the competition when you start getting some of this stuff out there. I can also create new categories. So you saw those three little orange men pictures on the front. This is basically just how they're created and the fact that they link to an image on your site. So I can go ahead and create other categories that may be of use. And then it just shows a roll-up of the number of discussions underneath each category. A really easy way to create community sites, and they can be just a site and have the feature turned on, which is actually what I did on this particular one. Okay. Now I'm logged on as Ali, so because I've got following, there's an extra message that's been put up there. I've been notified about. I can come on. I can see the message that Katie's posted, and I can go directly to the link to the community site. So because I'm brand new as Ali, it's given me a join this community, so I can actually join in and see what's happening. And I can go ahead and look at all the discussions that have been there, see who's members, see if there's anyone that I want to connect to because of the type of information that they're sharing. And I can go ahead and look at something grouped up. So in this particular case, there's a couple of different categories, everything you need to know about your job, and I'll go into the one finding your way around and see what discussion's been posted there. And there's a couple, one about the Bellevue offices, which I wasn't interested in, so I'm going to look at the Auckland offices one. And this is just a really simple example of people sharing information. So there's stuff there about where to go for parking and where to, and other people that have started to contribute. And people get the idea once they know that other people are contributing in ways that it's just nice and easy for people to find information. You'll see them using it a lot more. Some of the stories I've heard about organic growth of discussions is really amazing. So yeah, I can come down, I can click on what's hot, or the next thing I'm going to do here is I can actually create my own discussion. So as a new employee, one of the things you can do is rather than post a discussion, you can ask a question. And I think this is one of the most valuable things that people, once they get the hang of it and once they've asked a question and it's been answered or they've got the results through search, they will participate, they will jump into it. So this example, Ali's asking a question, what's the dress code? And so on, and hopefully she'll get lots of replies, and it's just an informal way. Yes, of course, some of this could have been kept in policies and procedures and documents that she could search for and hopefully find, but it's an informal, natural way for people to interact. So she's just going to post it to a particular category. Right. And I'm pretty sure that was the end of that particular one. The next area I'm going to talk about is... She came onto a newsfeed and then she looked at Project Falcon because, as I said, this is using a site feed. So we've looked at newsfeeds, community sites. This is now looking at it from a site-specific way. So this is saying within one site, when you actually deploy a new team site, it automatically creates a site feed, or you can turn the feature on and then you can put the web part on the page. So it's a news feed that's there, and it is specifically about the people that are on and within that project. So it's going to come through to my news feed, and I can see it all there. But it also means when I'm on the project site, I can have communication with people that have got permission to that site. So I can look at what others are doing. I can go ahead and post something. I've got a teeny, very quick presentation here using OneNote. I'm not sure how many of you are OneNote users. I love it. It's great because I can put it on my laptop and work on it and then synchronise it as soon as I go back. So it's another thing that's deployed with a team site. You get a notebook. So in this particular demo, I'm just saying that she wants to use it for managing meetings. So you can see that if she clicks on the notebook on the left-hand side here, it opens up. And this comes, yes, with a team site. So it opens up the OneNote web app. I can go ahead and contribute to this, as could any... of the team members. So there's obviously some information that's been preloaded there about the project, but in particular I'm just looking at the meetings one and the fact that I can use that for collaborating on meetings. So that was just the OneNote example, really. The other one from the project point of view is looking at the tasks. So we looked at the tasks from a personal point of view, how they rolled up within your My Site. And then this next one is actually just looking at them from a team perspective. So it's saying on the project site, and again, I could add my tasks into here, or I could add them into my site, and they're all nicely synced. And I could also synchronise them with Outlook and see the whole lot of them inside of Outlook as well. So this is just, again, looking at it from a team perspective, and then if I wanted to, I could go back into my site to see it from a personal perspective. And I can go ahead and add new ones and so forth. So I can see the project ones and add new ones as well. Okay, so today's business is rapidly changing, which means things like acquisitions, mergers, growth, expansion, new products, whatever. And all of that change is often met with resistance. It's hard. It's hard for people to change. It's hard for companies to be agile. And the 53% that it talks about here is actually an employee turnover. So how quickly and how fastly we can adapt is vital. So this next area looks at business agility and the areas that social can help for that. The growth of what happens when things change or how we need to adapt is all dependent on how fast we can do it. So how fast can you get employees on the same page in the same direction? And it is people that are completely integral to that. So how's social helping? Communicating, so being able to connect people together is an obvious one. Being able to make better decisions with BI. And then the third area that I just want to branch out a little wee bit on is about managing knowledge. So knowledge management has been something that has been around for ages, trying to capture the whole water cooler discussions, trying to capture the formal information and so forth. And I guess the new way of thinking of it is that social computing is where the knowledge management train stopped. But it's also in thinking about it in terms of explicit knowledge, which is things that can be detached, I guess, from the person creating it. So things like blogs, wikis, documents, all of that kind of written stuff is fine, but also how we actually capture and transfer the tacit knowledge. And this is the hard bit, because the tacit knowledge is the stuff that's personal, that's a lot harder to transfer, and that's also... people quite often don't know what they know, and they don't know what needs to be transferred. So I'm actually going to use a few slides from Paul Colmsey. If you know him or don't know him, he's a great person to follow and read his resources, but these next few slides are his, so I won't own them. But To talk about tacit knowledge, he talks about Brian May, who I'm betting most of you know who he is, maybe, guitarist for Queen. And he's got some, he knows a lot of stuff. He wrote We Will Rock You, he built his own guitar, he's got a PhD in astrophysics. I don't think I knew that until I did the slide. And he's the co-author of a book. So he's got all of this knowledge. How do we manage someone like that's knowledge? We could send out a calendar invite and say, Brian, would you like to, have you got time for a quick handover? We could have him write up a how-to document, the Complete Idiot's Guide. Or we could say, could you please sit down and write a detailed manual about how you've managed to do all these amazing things with the guitar? Or we could actually, and I'm going to see if this works to play it or not. Actually, I don't know how I'm going to see how that works to play it. Because I can't play it. Oh, yes, I can. I'm not going to play much of it. So, or we could capture his knowledge, I haven't got any audio, on a video, and we could have his expressions, we could have the way that he does things, we could hear the types of things that he does to make all these amazing things. So that's tacit knowledge. It's stuff that cannot be captured in a handwritten document. Sorry I didn't have any noise there, I'm sure you'd love the guitar sounds, but did you get it? Okay, so business agility. This is a bit of a hard one to demonstrate because it is the speed of how people can change and adapt and so forth. So I've tried to do it just showing an example of using tags and searching. So I'm back on Katie's My Site and I'm going to show a couple of examples of tags. So you can see down the right-hand side there that we've got the tags that Katie has personally followed, so she can easily get into that information. And then you've got the trending ones down the right-hand side that appear all throughout your own My Sites. And when you click on one, you can see the conversations that have been had. So if she's trying to find out about the merger, then there's a few things she'd be able to do, and it's bringing through all of this tacit knowledge, all of the conversations that are being had. The other way of doing that is she can go to her project site, because that would be a logical place to start, and do a search. So the search in this case is going to be done on merger, and it's just showing the example of how all of this information is really, really just bubbling up to the top and being relevant to the searches here. So you either get information from your own site or you expand it and you're going to go out and search a whole of the site collection or web app. And under the everything one here, you can see that there's going to be different things. There'll be the explicit information, so she can scroll through and see videos or PowerPoints or Word documents and anything that's documented. So all of that information's captured. But it's also the other types of information that she's immediately got at her fingertips. So in this case, if you look at the refiners down the side there, we start to see things like, if you click into the discussions, it's going to pull through all of the community sites that she might not even know that's out there and how people are talking about different things. So she can go into one of the community sites and probably come across people and ideas and things that have been discussed that otherwise she wouldn't have been able to find. And in this case, she's come into a community site which is actually the from the marketing topics community. So it's just another example of how she would find that information. The other type of search she can do is using people. So just by having that word in there and by being able to filter down again, you've got her coming back with immediately connecting with the type of people that have tagged that within their profiles and being able to connect with them however she wants to there. And then, of course, there's the conversations view, which, like the other one I showed you before, has both discussions, and then it also shows the newsfeed activity that's available there. So just a quick look from that point of view. Okay, so fourthly is all about employees trying to find what they need. And search has been around for a while, and you'd think we'd be good at it, and it would help, and it would make life easier. However, we still seem to be spending a lot of our time duplicating or recreating stuff because we can't find it or just trying to find it. And if you look at that in dollar terms, even if you just said it costs $5,000 per person in your organisation, that's a huge amount each year. And what's the opportunity cost of that happening? So The point, the change in thought here is it because the tools are creating the silos? Is it things like a traditional intranet that has the information created and designed by only one or two people that's then static and doesn't provide feedback and discussions within it? And so that's why we're going to look a little bit at the social intranet. So the couple of different things I want to talk about here was the fact that a social intranet provides content and conversations. So quite often, it's the people aspect and the conversations around the content that are even more important than the content itself. It's things like them being able to, it adds a bit of a lifespan to the content that's being kept up there, and it allows people to connect. The contribution access and contribution aspect of it is things like microblogging, being able to tag content, being able to categorise things in topic, and it adds that whole social layer by having that ability within a site. And all of these are going to lead to user adoption and increased productivity. People will feel a lot more engaged. So people are the greatest resource here because it is about the content that they contribute, the contributions they make to the content. So this next demonstration is going to take a bit of a look at, first of all, the Contoso homepage, and I hope I don't get told off for saying this was the demo site and I've changed it completely. So what I'm looking at is, this is the one that's typically there, so I'm going to use this as an example of a traditional intranet. And you can see that you've got a message from the president, which must be hard-coded on the page. You've got company news, which link off to your pages, as they always have done, which is fine. And you can get to the information you might want. Down the right-hand side there, you've got links that go off to other sites and different areas of the intranet, which quite often are along your top link anyway, so they're probably duplicated. So now I want to try and flip the page here and look at a social intranet. And what I've done is I've just got a message from the CEO and there's a click to go and view her profile. There's messages here which are using a discussion board. So you can see all the likes and replies. I can click on one. I can join in the conversation. I could go and see a roll-up of all the rest of them. I can come down and I can see all the company news here. So again, I can contribute. It's not just a one-way push of information, but a way of using the whole community discussions and the social aspect of things to actually get into it. And the other one is I've brought to the front of the page here all of the community sites that were within, most of these were within the Contoso demo environment actually. So now, as a user, I can say, well, actually, I am interested in industry trends. I might not have even known that site even existed, or I do want to go and find out about product ideas and, you know, what's coming up and so forth. And I do want to connect with some of these people because now I know who's doing that sort of stuff. And or you can have, of course, the real social stuff down the bottom, the non-work related things too if you want to. So you can see that there's a few different ways and a few different examples there of community sites and the way that they can be surfaced within a social intranet. The other area that I've put here is I just did a quick content query web part and rolled up the blogs so that I could see, say, the marketing and executive blogs here, which is another way of being able to have content that's got some feedback on it. So you can see I could drill down into one and I could see the reviews and the feedback from different people and join in that discussion. So I'm hoping that sort of gives you a little bit of an inkling into the kind of ideas at a glance for the social side of it from an intranet side. The next thing is just from a team perspective. So, yes, I can have all the wonderful things and web parts and so forth on a team page or a department page or a divisional page or a project page, whatever. And I can have things like announcements. And it's probably important to note here that there are all these different social tools and it's going to become really vital to actually figure out which one is right for which situation. So announcements have always been good for doing one-off posts where I can set an expiry date, but they don't allow feedback. Whereas if I was to put the news feed onto this page and allow that kind of informal discussion, then I could have both of them on the page. I could have team discussions, community sites, everything. So it's kind of just a different way of looking at that information. And of course, if it's on my site, on my site there, then I can also see it from within my own news feed and see that whole flow through of the information. So hopefully that made some sense there. I'm going to roll back into what these areas of social value are, and I just want to finish off by a couple of other points. And one is that I don't know if any of you got a chance to fill in. I did a survey about how people are using social because I really wanted to get more idea on how organisations out there are making good examples of it or not. And it was too much to fit in, as you can see, even from doing an hour presentation, you try and squish as much as you can in. But I did want to share a couple of those results. I still have the survey up there. So if you want to do it, I'd appreciate everyone's feedback because it gives me better statistics, and I am going to share those on a blog post. So the respondents were a huge range of industries, which was great. Largely, there was more on the technology one, probably because that's where I'm from, but it covered government, finance, everything. Most of the products that people were using were SharePoint and Yammer, and again, that's probably because of my contacts and network, but there were a range of other ones, which, as I said, I'll share the detail in a blog. The order of usage, which I thought was interesting, was that news feeds, this is the highest percentage of what order they were doing things, so news feeds did come up the top there. The connecting with people was finding skills and stuff. This is how they thought the most important thing was for using it. The user base, and I guess this is pretty much what I'd guessed, I think. Microbloggers fitted into, I can't remember the percentages now, but you can roughly see maybe about 25% there. A lot of the content, people appreciated and viewed it, but they didn't really contribute as such. Blog contributors were the serious writing full-on blogs, whereas microbloggers are just people that'll add comments or post stuff themselves, and the resistors sat into that about that percentage. It might be a bit low. Then overall opinion I thought was interesting because I can see the benefits, but we're not there yet, and I do think that's quite reflective of where people are at the moment. I think it wastes time and productivity was only a small one, undecided, and I'm a huge advocate, was really, really good. So I think people are starting to get it. Dealing with resistance, so there was some really good feedback, and as I said, I haven't got the time to go into it, but these range from ignore being the answer to quite a few of them said they ignore it and they don't handle resistance at all, to letting it grow organically, to selling the benefits and training and so forth. I'm looking forward to writing some of this up. Some of the things on governance were interesting, and probably the main one that I liked actually is that some people were saying, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about it yet, but the best one was that it's trust. People go, I'm too scared to put all this social stuff up, I'm too scared to let people put comments on the homepage of my intranet. But you've got to trust the people. You've got to, in order to engage them, you've got to trust them. So I quite like that one. The percentage of personal use, seeing everyone gets a bit worried about whether it's a productivity waster, was less than 10% overall. And the training required for social, I just put that as a reminder to myself, more than 70% said it fell either into it's intuitive enough, it didn't need training, or very small amounts of training for the actual social, because people do take it on board. And then the other couple of things that I covered off in the survey and will share in the results are things like impacts and how people quantify benefits. So, yeah, some interesting stuff there. So just to recap, I'm hoping I've got across the point that social is a productivity enhancer, not a waster, and it's a way of engaging employees and building on that team collaboration. Secondly, that it is about knowledge management and being able to use social as a way to capture and transfer a lot of the knowledge that is tacit and otherwise would be unable to be captured. And that it's not about the terms as much as it's about the tools or the way that we use it. And I think if we can kind of take away that word social and actually look at some of the business meaning behind it, it'll be a lot simpler. I'm going to put up this picture here, which is great, but I know it's far too much information, but it will be there in my slide deck afterwards if you want it. And it was a really cool way, I thought, of actually trying to pull together all of the ideas behind what social was, rather than, yeah, trying to decipher it. So it came from an Australian University of Sydney, actually. So, yeah. So I believe that's me. Does anyone have any questions? Yes. That is such a good question. That's all to do with user profiles and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah,
it would
be a question.
Victor's going to answer that for me. Yeah, so the microblog list is at the My Site level, so if the My Site level is deleted, then that list gets deleted, or you'd have to have some way of managing that. Yep, yes.
Is there a way to categorise the news feeds by topics?
So you saw the way I did that through the community discussions. As far as by topics through tagging would be the way that you'd probably do that, because you're actually starting to pull it together. Not that I can think of, apart from if you are using tags, because a tag does use the term store, so you are going to be, in theory, categorising it.
Or a community.
Or a community site, yes, a community site where you do have the actual categories. So I guess that comes back to getting people to use the tools in the way that you want to be able to store it later too, or report on it later. It's a great way of engaging people too, is to ensure that they can use mobile devices. So I know that, for example, there's a newsfeed app for the Windows one and for the iPhone. There's an iPhone app for the newsfeed for the My Site stuff. And all of the Yammer stuff, as I said, a lot of the stuff I demonstrated is going to be available on Yammer, or is anyway, and will be integrated and will be one pretty soon. So yeah, definitely mobile has to be considered because it's a way to engage people. Sorry, I'll just get... No, so there's certain things you can do within Office 365. You can immediately with you can just embed some code into your home page to show the Yammer feed, but they will have had to have signed into Yammer as well. There's also some similar integration points for on-prem, but all of that's coming. Is that that's the word? It will be there. It is. It's on its way. Think about it. So yeah. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, the achievements are per community, but I would definitely be looking at tying them into KPIs and into all that good stuff because there's room for that. Sorry, one. Yeah. For like a moderation point of view, as I said, it's an interesting one because you had the two streams of thought. Yes, you want some moderation on the site, but on the other hand, you also want some trust of people that are going to put it up there. One of the comments I read actually on the survey results is that they have the person that's the site administrator look after the content, but I don't know that they're the right person either. I think it's because it's knowledge, and it's like if you have wiki pages and you want some content approval on that. But apparently there's very little moderation they've had to do. There are mechanisms in there where you can report abuse and things like that, so there are some tools in there. I think the moderation comes when you first roll it out, and then you'll see it not being so necessary. Yep. Yep.
Can I do something like this so that people can't follow me?
Can you block people from following you? You can't, can you? I don't think. No. Weird thing. I've got a couple of prizes to give away, and I might need to grab one of those certificates because I've left my one now. I've got a ticket to the conference. Gosh, do I have to give it to whoever asked me good questions? I hate doing this. Who wants a car? No, I mean, it's not a car. Who wants a robot? Oh, there you go. Look, you win right there in the middle. Hey, you get good questions based on good evaluations. Isn't that the deal? There you go, you can come and get your robot. Yes. I'm going to ask a question about who knows when the next SharePoint conference is? Sorry? No, the New Zealand Auckland one. Oh, gosh, no. No. God, no one's going to get the ticket. Eh? Okay, I'm going to... It's not April, it's not March, it's not May. That's because the April one's in Vegas. No. Woohoo! You win a ticket. The 22nd to the 23rd of July. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to be around for a while outside over the lunch break, or feel free to contact me on Twitter and everything else, and thank you very much.